Hello and welcome to another Pless podcast, episode 7. I'm Ian Plessin and I'll be with my regular guest, Andrew Masters. Today we'll be talking about England's amazing victory in the semi-final against Netherlands, the other semi-final, and we preview what's going to happen at the weekend and the Golden Boot. As I've always said on previous podcasts, check out djpless.com/Euro-2024. That's where you can find the printout and all the previous podcasts. Hello, Andy. What an amazing performance it was last night by England.
Hi Ian, nice to join you, and absolutely an amazing performance. I actually this time felt that England deserved to win. They played brilliantly throughout in the first half, particularly. The Dutch were penned back. They didn't know what to do, and England were just completely dominant. We didn't, again, make a huge number of chances, and obviously the Dutch scored an absolute screamer in the 7th minute, but it didn't really seem to matter because England just went forward with so much purpose. They were moving the ball around so well, they were so well organised, and you felt that we should get an equaliser eventually. Bit of good fortune, I guess. With the penalty awards, Dutch may feel a little bit hard done by that award. It's a penalty which would only be awarded by VAR. Most referees would not give that penalty, I guess. But by the letter of the law, it was a penalty, and Harry Kane stuck it away well, even though the keeper dived to the correct side. And then half time, you felt we would continue in the same vein in the second half, but the Dutch came back and really stretched us, and it became a lot more even, and the chances of us winning in normal time reduced. I think we were lucky not to concede on a few occasions. And I think in the last 10 minutes, I certainly felt that it was probably going to be going to extra time and maybe another round of penalties. But obviously, another inspired substitution, set of substitutions. Ollie Watkins comes on and converts that incredible shot, threading it through the legs of the defender and into the far corner off the post. And amazing. What a time to score. 90th minute, it was game over. So I think overall, England very much deserved to win. They outplayed the Dutch for long periods. The Dutch came back into it at times. And there was criticism that Ronald Koeman was too defensive, but overall, we deserved to win, I think.
He kept on changing it, which kept Gareth on his toes. So I think it was impressive how Gareth adapted throughout the game, which we didn't see as much. But when Ronald Koeman made the substitution 2/3 of the way through the half, when Memphis Depay was injured, it was a tactical change because Saka was getting so much space on the right wing. It was just excellent to watch. I know the second half was certainly more cagey, and I think the game was far more even in the second half, but it was so great to watch. And as a lot of people have been saying today, all is forgiven. But I'm just pleased for Gareth that it pays off. It really pays off. And tournament football is this long journey of a month of 7 matches, and we're reaching our high point at the right time.
Absolutely. It was a bit like a game of chess between two managers that have been accused by their fans of being too conservative, too defensive at times. But it was actually quite a fascinating match if you could detach yourself from what was going on and think of it in terms of tactics and strategy. So, yeah, it was so finely balanced. Two excellent managers trying to deploy their players as best they could with the best formation to try and get the breakthrough. And ultimately, it was Gareth who made the correct decision at the correct time. And as you say, we are coming into our best performances at the right time in the tournament. I felt that the first half in the last match was amazing. I felt that the first half in this match was amazing, and a lot of the second half as well. And obviously, we will need to be at our very best if we're going to win against the Spanish, who will be probably still quite confident of winning yet another European Championship at the weekend.
We'll come on to that. We'll definitely be previewing the final and obviously come on to Spain's win against France. But Ollie Watkins comes on. You think, oh, well, Tony has been coming on. Will it be Tony? I was surprised it was Watkins. And I mean, what a finish by Watkins. And he's had an amazing season. And he was so happy. And I think that's what's so lovely about England's journey. Every game, there seems to be a story. And this one was Watkins, who they kept saying today played for Western Supermare in the Conference South. within the last 10 years. It's a fantastic story and an outstanding finish. And he was so happy.
It's that idea of having a squad and every player playing their part, even if they only play for 10, 20 minutes across the whole tournament, which might be said of Ollie Watkins, I think. He's played very few minutes so far. But yes, he's a great striker. He's played brilliantly for Brentford and Aston Villa, and he's a class striker who can take on defenders and can do that sort of thing. So why not bring him on? And yes, he's not had many minutes, but he's a quality performer, and fair play to him. He had that positivity to take on the defender and try his luck from that angle, and absolutely, he got it right.
Just want to have a special mention about Phil Foden. I thought he was outstanding, especially in that first half. We saw Phil Foden, who plays for Manchester City every week, and if we see that again on Sunday, it would be something to relish, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's had quite a frustrating tournament, I think, so far. I think we tipped him to be one of England's brightest performers, and it's not quite panned out like that, but I agree. He was very, very impressive in the first half, just taking on defenders, beating them. That play, the quality of play when his shot was cleared off the line, was unbelievable. I mean, the way he moved that ball in between defenders and then shot in between the goalkeeper's legs. If he just struck it a little bit harder, he would have scored. But, and what a goal. That would have been one of the goals of the tournament as well, I think. So yeah, that's really good to see him coming into form now. Let's hope he can take a lot of confidence from that, and no doubt he'll have a part to play against the Spanish.
It's interesting because he played in the under-17 World Cup in 2017, I believe it was. He was in the team with Marc Guay, and Conor Gallagher went to go and see if any of the Spanish players were in the Spanish squad, but they weren't there. But Marc Guay and Foden both scored in that final 7 years for the under-17s. And it's just amazing that we talk about the journey again, but the journey to go and play Spain again, even that none of those players for Spain are playing in that final. It's just that for Marc Guay, Foden, and if Conor Gallagher comes on, it goes again where they play Spain in such a major final again.
Yeah, and it also says a lot about the England setup and the way they have built the youth teams over the last 10, 15 years. The way England has developed its facilities, it's developed its young players in a way that it hasn't done in the past. It says a lot that top players in the under-17s are still to our top players in the adult side, which is often not the case because a lot of players fall by the wayside, making that tricky transition from youth football into adult football. So it bodes very well for the future that we have a system like that that can bring through players like Guy and Foden, and hopefully we'll have a lot more coming through.
I know, it really shows that St George's Park, after it finally got through, is working for every single age level, male and female. All the teams are based there. There's no separate entity, that every England side is played at St George's Park.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great that they've been brought together like that. The facilities are amazing. So, absolutely, England has the infrastructure now to bring through teams who can win silverware. So it absolutely bodes well for the future. Let's hope there are many, many more amazing players like Foden and Guy coming through.
I was happy for Southgate. I mean, I said that earlier, but he was over the moon at the end of the game, along with everyone else. And I think that, again, we said that after the Switzerland game, but it looked like the team was even more together than it was even at the weekend. It just, there must be such euphoria in the entire squad at the moment. And even that we've got one less day than Spain, I think we go into that game not scared. We just know that Spain are good, but I don't think we're scared.
No, we're lucky it didn't go to extra time and penalties, actually. That would have not been easy to recover from, I suspect. Obviously, we'd have won if we got as far as the final, but it would have just taken its toll on the players, I think. So it's good we were able to close that match out in normal time. And there's a big squad, so Southgate will have to make his decisions about who will be starting, who's going to be on the bench, but he'll have a game plan, I'm sure, as to how to get the best out of his squad.
Now we play Spain, and they beat France in the other semi-final, which was a rather more entertaining match than I expected, especially with France, what I hoped they would do in the previous podcast, score within the first 10 minutes, and that's what they did. And that then set up Spain to have to come right back into the game, and Yamal, who's 16, 17 on Saturday, scoring one of the goals of the tournament.
Absolutely. Yeah, France finally came to life. They've had a disappointing tournament in terms terms of their performance levels and their goal threat, I guess they'll obviously be very happy with having made the semi-finals. But I agree, I think it was a much better performance from the French. They really put the Spanish on the back foot. And as you say, that early goal boded well, I think, for an exciting match. And yet again, I guess the Spanish proved why they are worthy competitors in the final by coming back and winning the match in normal time. So yeah, I don't think the French can have too many complaints, but I agree they played a lot better than they have done in previous matches.
I think they played with heart, but it's one of those things where, like, if they had been cagey, maybe they might have taken them to extra time and penalties. But I'm not sure that would have been the case, because I think Spain would have just broken them down eventually.
Yeah, there's too much quality in the Spanish side, I think, to really go for tactics like that against them. You can't score and sit back. You're just inviting pressure, particularly when you scored early on in the match. It's too much, too exhausting. You're going to concede. So I'm glad the French took the match more positively, even if they weren't able to win in the end.
It was interesting because Almo's shot was deflected for Spain's second, and they gave it as an own goal, which would have meant there was 11 own goals. But then by the second half, UEFA took it off own goals and gave it to Olmo, which means Olmo's now got 3 goals, and so has Harry Kane after his penalty. Obviously, there's a lot of other players that won 3, but also out of the tournament. So if Harry Kane or Olmo score in the final, they will go into the lead for the Golden Boot. Or, as you say, someone may score a brace or even 3 goals in the final. I think with the open nature of Spain, the possibility of goals is high, isn't it?
It does look that way, absolutely. It's good. Let's hope for an exciting final in which both sides score goals. And as you say, Spain love to go forward. They love to attack. They've got so much quality throughout their side. So you would hope England would be able to score against them. But we'll have to see. It's going to be a very, very tough match. Everyone is going to have to put in their best performance. The defence is going to have to be extremely well organised. And our best players are going to have to be at their best, you know. And as I said, I think Southgate's going to have to take a view on whether to involve some of the squad players who haven't played a huge number of minutes so far.
The referee for the game is François Le Texier. He's from France, but I just wanted to let you know that because he was the referee that refereed Spain-Georgia. So if that's the case, it may be quite an open match with regards to not many stop-starts, because that game, Spain-Georgia, was so free-flowing.
That sounds very encouraging, yes. Hopefully no need for VAR, because that really does slow down the match. And obviously the worst thing of all is having a goal disallowed, because VAR said so. Let's hope he lets the game flow. Two really good attacking sides. And yeah, let's hope it's an exciting match. And it sounds encouraging that the referee seems to have that approach.
Yeah, also he refereed Croatia-Albania, which I believe was 2-2. Let's hope it's as exciting as the Spain-Georgia and Croatia-Albania game. So we've been previewing the final a little bit already, but England-Spain on Sunday in Berlin. It's another final for Gareth. 2 European finals in a row, 2 in 3 years because of the delayed Euro 2021. Another exciting occasion for England fans again.
Absolutely. Quite amazing. 2 European Championship finals in succession. Who would have predicted that, given before 2021, England hadn't been in a final since 1966. The England men, that is. So, and I'm not counting the tournoi either. So, yeah, amazing achievement for Gareth Southgate to have done that in 2 successive European Championships, and to have done reasonably well in the World Cup as well. So, yeah, he'll still have his doubters. He'll still have his critic, but his record speaks for itself, I think.
It really does. I mean, if any criticism I said, I think it was mainly really due to being expansive. But I think you look at all the teams that were expansive are no longer in the tournament, apart from Spain. But Spain, I think, have been the complete team. And saying that going into a final would indicate that Spain are certainly the strong favourites. And I think everyone believes that they are. But I said earlier that England won't be scared of Spain, and England will believe that they can win. I believe that we certainly have a chance. It's a one-off final match in a game where I feel that England, if they play like they did, especially in that first half against Netherlands, we certainly have a chance to bring that trophy home.
I agree. And I totally agree. It's a one-off final, and you just don't know, do you? Who would have predicted France were going to beat Brazil in 1998, for example? You just don't know what's going to happen. So absolutely, I think England have to go in with with that mindset. And they will. They will believe they can win. And they've got the quality. They have the world-class players to justify that belief. So I don't think it's misplaced. They're going to be a very stern test for England and for Southgate tactically. So we can't have anyone having an off day. Everyone needs to be absolutely at their best. But I think the spirit in the England camp speaks for itself. You see the way they are on the pitch, that spirit of togetherness, the social media posts, the humour that we're seeing as well. So I think they've got a very good chance, even if they're not the favourite.
You look at Aaron Ramsdale, he looks so happy. He looks like he's such a character in the entire squad. He's played no minutes, but he's always there, straight onto the pitch when the game's finished, a really important goal. He looks like a real character in the squad that's brought real happiness to not just people around him, but the whole squad. And I think if you've got characters like that, then that just helps everybody.
Absolutely. Shades of Gazza in 1990, of course. And Jordan Pickford as well. You know, a real character. He really puts his heart and soul on the line. And you can see how much the win meant to him as well. So I agree. It's great to have characters like Ramsdale, Pickford in the side. And yeah, we'll see how we get on.
I know there's been a lot said about it. And of course, we won't know until after the match. But by the time we do the next podcast, we probably will know whether the Gareth will be staying or not, no matter what happens. But I'm one of those people who, and I've been saying it over the last 4 or 5 days, things are never going to get better than this under anyone else. I can't believe anyone who would come in next would do a better job in a quick time. That I'd like to see Gareth go to the World Cup and then finish there. I think he's done so well, he deserves to go to the World Cup and then finish. No matter what happens, I think he's proved that it's good enough and that it's proved that he knows tournament football. I know there's a lot of stresses, but the team love him. I just hope, and I know for some people it's not popular, but I hope he stays for the World Cup.
Yeah, it would be great to have him stay. We've still got some quite young players in the side and they would benefit greatly from having Gareth Southgate stay on and maybe develop an assistant who can take the team on in due course, as all the great sides have had in the past. Certainly the Liverpool sides in the 70s and 80s. Bill Shankly and Bob Paisley, for example. Maybe there isn't a very good succession plan at the moment. So Gareth should stay on, bring in someone that can take over when he's ready to go, and definitely go to the World Cup and see if he can bring home that trophy, with or without the European Championship.
It's fantastic that we're talking about England going to a final this Sunday. It's very exciting for everyone, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's amazing for the country, really. We don't get many finals. We've had one since 1966 for the men, but for the men, it's a very rare event and it does mean a lot. But I think most fans, they were happy in 2021 to have got to the final. There was a huge amount of disappointment. I think the disappointment is going to be even greater this time around, just because it's a second final and, you know, the hope is going to be even greater that we can actually win it this time.
Thanks again, Andy.
Thanks, Ian. Been a pleasure joining you.
That was Andy Masters. Always a pleasure to have him on the Pledge podcast. As I've said before, check everything out on djpledge.com, Euro 2024. I've been Ian Plested, and of course, I've been joined by Andy Masters. We'll see you very soon, and thanks for listening to the Pledge podcast.